Some people never get to watch a miracle in process or a healing in process in a lifetime. You're going to get to watch it twice. Participate in it. I with you and God. And my focus has to be, if necessary, only God. But thank God, you're part of it, my wife's part of it, and we'll win this one, and your faith will grow as it did last time. All of us are guilty of relaxing, including me. And yet, maybe you'll believe me now when I tell you I preach to myself and you get what's left over. It's so easy to slack off, and God knows how to lead us, drive us, guide us into the rock, in the rock. And thanks be to God, He is a rock in all those other ways, but we can be in the rock, and only faith puts us there. I'm not the only person that faces a faith battle. I've told you many, many times, if you're sick, find somebody else that's sick to pray for them. It's that paradoxical truth. And I talked to the volunteers last night. We had a wonderful crowd of volunteers. And I said, 28 years ago when I came here, I had to get rid of everybody. It took me until that famed offering I got up to take. And the Spirit prompted me, and instead of an offering, I took off on Joshua. And God appearing to him and telling him how they were going to take Jericho, and didn't let him tell anybody what the results would be. He just told him to tell them what to do. In fact, he didn't even say, God told me. And he could have honestly said that. A rarity among preachers. They were to march and keep their mouth shut. And many times I've said, I can see God almost bending down with his ear like this. The first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, and then seven times the seventh day, to see if you can hear anybody, just one person muttering a complaint. Why is God doing this? One person putting God on trial and asking why. And had he heard it, there'd have been another generation wandering in a wilderness. He had had it. And I remember one of these days I'm going to pull that tape out when I said to the congregation, who were full of people who had been burned and had every reason to be cynical. They kept me on trial when I first came here. I could feel it and see it. I had to get rid of the old administration. I had to get rid of the old board. The only ones that stayed was one of the board members that I reappointed after the congregation delegated to me as a committee of one, which was one of my terms. A unanimous vote that delegated to me as a committee of one to select all personnel, all officers. In other words, I became the spiritual trustee by legal vote. And I appointed one of the old board members. He's now dead. And they were there, two of those that voted, Dr. Charles Price's daughter, Ethel Clements, and her husband. I got rid of all the rest. And there were the congregation sitting there. I'm the first to tell them that they owed $3.4 million. They hadn't been told. And I, on that Sunday, said, I'm not on trial one more second. You are. And like Joshua drawing a line in the sand, I asked for commitment of those that would follow me and keep their mouth shut. March and keep their mouth shut. Now that's taken out of context by some people. I said it in the context of Joshua. You can hear feet thumping on the ground, I mean on the floor, as they ran to the front to make commitments. I fired the youth pastor. All he wanted to do was socialize. And I began conducting the youth service, and the first one is the first time I preached the message in this church on the meaning of the church. Kyriakon, ekklesia, koinonia. And Carell won. Snot-nosed teenager with real leadership ability, cynical, disillusioned by his own father, recognized his leadership ability but told him he was going to straighten out and follow me or he was out. He and his dear mother and everybody else. The time was now. And the social program was over. And I would get kids willing to make a commitment. As I told the volunteers last night, in those days we became the pride, not only of religious broadcasting, we had NBC and ABC and others trying to steal our employees. We would go to Swine Auditorium, set up overnight, be ready by Sunday morning and tear down and out of there by Sunday night. And because it was a union place, we had to pay union employees to stand by and watch our guys do it. If the union guys had done it, it took them 3 days. We'd get on planes and go to Hartford and go to San Francisco. It was nothing to go around the clock in San Francisco and catch a plane to Hartford. There was esprit de corps, there was pride. I remember an engineer, before he was ruined by a woman, sought by ABC, said the only thing he wanted to do was be the best engineer the Gene Scott Ministry could ever have. I want that back. It's been painful, but we are at a start over point. And I said to those volunteers, I appreciate them being there, but please, once a year, and thank you once a year, should be sufficient. We are entrusted with the oracles of God. And I said, if I can risk my life with a death sentence on me, and faith. They can risk their feelings hurt and be like a Marine cadet. Not all of them will make it, but if their attitude's right, we can find a place for them. They may not make it in the job they want. We're going back to a quality of performance. Pride in everything. This building, all I needed was one person that can be carrying out my orders while I'm studying. My wife is that. I never ask anybody on my staff to do this job. I just ask them to tell me where it was needed and lay out a plan, and I'd okay it, and it'd get done. I'm smiling as I look to it. I don't want to look at the direction. An assignment was given by a person this week to build something for a new... I've looked and looked, and I got a new Torah. This deer skin. And like their cell phone this morning, anybody with any brains knows what an interruption that was. And how it was used at the worst possible time. But I'm the first to say the person who did it, don't even bother me by telling me that you could kill yourself for doing it. You just forgot and didn't pay attention. But I'm not looking that way either. The thing that irritated me more than the phone, I was doing fine. I got cell phones. I know how to pull them out of my pocket and turn them off without looking at them. But the involuntary response, this will tell you something about working with me, is what got to me. You looked at the phone. You can look at a phone and know who's calling. This person is on the volunteer staff. I don't even have to look into it. I don't even have to look into it or look toward the person. That person is security most of the time. Today, because we're now enforcing the rollover, it wasn't my fault. I don't know, one day from another, people have to tell me when Sunday's coming up. I'll tell somebody their hours, and I'll tell somebody the day off, then pride kicks in, and they won't hold up their hand when we're doing something and say, it's my time. Well, get out of here then. I mean, if a body's still here, it's 100%. If you're supposed to go home at 8:30, am I supposed to tap you on the shoulder and ring a bell and say, get out of here? Hold up your frickin' hand. Tomorrow I want this fixed. I'll be glad to do it, sir, but just in case you've forgotten, that's supposed to be my day off. I'll be glad to work. How about? What are you talking about? Get out of here. I'll find somebody else to do it. I don't carry the calendar in my head. But I know. It's part of what I'm finding of the laxness throughout this congregation. If you're on security, you're not in the congregation, you probably think you can leave your cell phone on. It's okay if it rings out in the parking lot. It's okay if it rings when you're down in the basement or somewhere else. No, it ain't. You're a volunteer. You turn that cell phone off. Because I wish I had to do over again. I'd have walked down and said, hand me that phone. Don't turn it off. Hello, this is Dr. James Scott. You're interrupting my message. What is it that's so important, and why are you calling this man? You know what we're going to have next time cell phone rings? My guess is habits of leaving it on where I didn't see you, caught up with you in the service today. I mean, I expect people that are volunteers at King's House 1, everybody that knows them, Well, what if I got an emergency at home? Everybody knew when my aged parents were here, when the service started, God better take care of them until it's over. And I expect the same out of you. We have phone numbers here. We have people that know how to get an emergency through to somebody. You turn your cell phones off when you show up in the service or to work. Somebody figured they could call this person. I can't believe anybody on Sunday, businesses aren't working. Anybody on Sunday, other than a friend or a family member, would call during my preaching time for someone that is on my volunteer staff, unless they have had an expectancy it was okay. Don't ever underestimate. And I gave a job to someone to prepare something to hold the new, I got a new Torah made on deerskin from North Africa, the only one I've ever seen. You can only make, they could only write the Torah on kosher skins. You couldn't use horse skin. It has to be a cleft hoof. Cows, goats, sheep, deer. This is the only one I've ever seen on deer skin. I got it on camel skin. And it has a history in North Africa. And I arrived last night to ask, was it done? Now, two very faithful, dedicated ex-employees volunteer. And the new man I have at the cathedral, I asked him, because I saw it laying on the floor. They do the stand? Yeah, it's burnished. It's drying over in the foyer of the tower. I haven't addressed that yet. Someone concluded, because I'm not letting you into the tower yet, it's okay to make the foyer a place to dry varnish material. Now, I hope they are grateful in each other's presence, and I hope they're not getting the scrunchies and pride's not taking over, because I could name them and pull them out here in front of the camera. But I'd rather teach. You're okay, Rick. You took it on the chin. And you're still smiling about the phone. Now, they both know better. The tabernacle in the wilderness was kept the same at all times, even though God only showed up once a year. Even though they knew when he would show up. That tower is now a sacred place, and the foyer, whether anybody thinks it's being used or not, had the mayor in there the other day, is not a place. Now, I didn't go look, so I may have wrong information. If I have wrong information, then the lesson still needs to be taught. And, you know, I don't get intimidated by getting on to somebody that they're not guilty, because there's at least 50 things I didn't catch them doing. So you apply it to that. I'm easy. I'm trying to get your spirit in the right place. And for this one, the old guard, they got their habits. Going to tell you, it's hard to change the spots of a leopard. But the new guy, if he don't stop being a wisp, I got other words for it. That foyer is the foyer of the sacred tower that's going to be the Gene Scott Learning and Bible Research Center. And better start to be treated like that now. It's part of the sanctuary. There are closets and floors galore to dry things on. Takes a little extra effort. But that wasn't what I was upset about. Those who were given the assignment, which was a sacred, secret assignment for for me. You know I used Craig Lamp to deliver the message. Am I entertaining you? Look, you folks in Las Vegas, not very many people get in on something like this. And I want to tell you now, I'm the only man that says, don't send any money till I teach you. And I haven't threatened to go off in Las Vegas if you don't send in money. And we haven't had a telethon. But I will cancel the overnight and I will cancel the Sunday night if you don't pick up the telephone and tell me at least you appreciate that I'm in your city. I've been watching the calls get less and less because some of you started, and you're going to hear this on your rerun when you record it. Some of you figured out I'm there. Why stay up all night? I can punch you in the recording machine and record it and listen to it at my convenience. Well, our phones are here 24 hours. When you listen at your convenience, you call and say, I'm listening to a recording of the Saturday night programming. I thought I'd say that because I'm going to cancel the Saturday night overnight and the Sunday night, or one or the other, if you don't call in and let me know the people are listening. That's all I care about. I'm communicating the word. I'm not just communicating to the air. And I want eyes to see and ears to hear. But I'm back to this Torah. You don't get to hear this kind of pastoral, loving speeches very often up in Las Vegas. I'm overnight not because I want any money. Anybody listening between 12:30 and 5 in the morning is broke in Las Vegas. But you haven't lost your mouth and you haven't lost your fingers. And you know how to dial a telephone. I want to know you're watching, even if you're calling to say, damn these tables, I lost everything on them. We'll say, well, you haven't lost Scott. Now, get on the telephone, but I want to finish the Torah. So the new guy that's down there says, no, they haven't finished, and told me where it was, and that agitated me, and they said it'd be dry by tomorrow morning. But, now, hearsay is like broken telephone. Whether I'm accurate or not, same spirit of what I'm saying. Don't try to squeeze it down to, I burglarized the house, but I didn't go through the side door. Like you said, I went through the window. You on to me?
Yes, sir.
It's interesting. I see teenagers nodding their head. They're smarter than most of the adults. That's why I want them to go to work. And he said, one of them that was given the job, that he thinks they'll need a table for this one, too. Think my asteroid. They knew we'd need a table. And I said, did you ask him if he was supposed to talk to you about this project? You're not involved in this project. Why would you not ask the question? And if he couldn't say, yes, I was supposed to bring you in on it. Now, he's supposed to be brought in on another project, which is building a list of things down there, but not this. When are you going to have the gonads to say, why are you even talking to me about this? And the one I gave the assignment to should be asking him, what are you even looking over our shoulder for? We got an assignment from Dawkins, none of your business. Is that complicated? It's where you stop gossip. I said to him, you call that person and tell him, I gave him an assignment to get the job done. If he needs a table, make one. If he has to take parts of his body off to make it. He ain't going to have any trouble collecting a reimbursement expense for me, and he's not the broke, so broke he can't do it. Find a table and make one. Don't tell me through somebody else. Who, you think I'm going to go make the table? I gave him the assignment. It ain't complicated, is it? Just do your job, keep your mouth shut, and put in a... In this case, he's one of the few that's allowed to spend his own money and put in a reimbursement. I gave an assignment. Oh, I know how they think. He's also aware there's some tables already there that we've moved from other properties that we've sold to get Secret 15 done. And those tables are designated. I know where they're going. And they're not necessarily from the same entities. You know, everybody looks for the easy way. Bring your own kitchen table and eat on the floor. Send me a bill for it. You need a table, it's part of the project. You understand?
Yes, sir.
I'm easy. Just do the job I tell you and quit wiggling and quit mouthing. I'm going to have a team of people that understand we're entrusted with the oracles of God. And some of you were not here when the fountain of faith was built. You weren't here where most of the years of my ministry have been spent restoring what was lost. Most of it on the defensive, trying to bring Faith Center back to life, exhausting the resources of Westcott, just trying to get on our feet, stopping the holes in the dam. Now you've got a part to build the institutional lighthouse that permanizes till Jesus comes. This word-based ministry. You're in on the ground floor. I can't believe you got any commitment at all. Nobody wants you coming in here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But everybody can give a tithe of their time. The tithe of your money belongs to God. The tithe of your time belongs to God in the church where you get your spiritual food. It ain't complicated. And I want some people, unentangled people, willing to give their life. I want even 7 month commitments. I want people saying, I want to go to work. Give me a chance. And don't think you're doing us a favor. If you don't think it's the other way around, don't want you. Now, having said all that, I need about 300 reservations for next Sunday. This is the last month we'll be on, part of a month we'll be on this afternoon, time on 56. We're canceling that on the 17th of this month. And we're adding an hour from 7 to 8, which makes us on Sunday night from 7 to 11, 4 hours. And we are going on from 10 to 11, 5 nights a week, from Monday through Friday, all on 56, as we drop the 2.5 hours that we now have, which is right now, on 56. Put that on the calendar and know that the change will occur and Voices of Faith have to adjust their schedules on March 17th. Now, right now, I want your reservations for next Sunday, and we'll still be here live when we go off 56, switch to shortwave, satellite, internet. But whether you switch to anything, get on the telephone and call and make your reservations for next Sunday. Well, I see every phone busy, every Voice of Faith busy. Some phones laying where you're waiting for them to pick it up. I mean, I'd be happier if they would put the other phone on. You know, grow another arm, folks, so I can see a phone on each ear and you're still writing. And if they leave you laying too long, just hang up and dial again, because some other Voice of Faith will be finished down the rotary. You can pick it up. It's refreshing to see too many calls for the Voices of Faith to handle. So don't stop calling. And I'm looking at those pictures in Las Vegas. I used to get a lot of calls saying, when are you going to come up here and do a service? People call and say, we're going to come down to the cathedral. It's only a four. Well, I have one person that at least 3 Sundays a month drives from Las Vegas or flies to the service. Not that far. I want to go to Las Vegas. It's sort of on my way north. I want to spend an extra hour or two instead of going through San Francisco. I like to go to Las Vegas. I don't gamble. It's the best place in the world to go if you don't gamble. I don't have any moral verse of Scripture, thou shalt not gamble. I gamble every time I get on the freeway in Los Angeles. A farmer gambles every time he plants a crop. Another one of those traditions made void by the Word of God. Paul says all things are lawful. He just won't be possessed by anything. I'm just too smart to go against the odds. If I ever sit down at a slot machine or a table, I'm going to say, well, I don't have anything else to do, so I want to spend this much money to rent this stool to sit on, and I expect to lose it. and just sort of get some of the cussing out of my system as I sit there for an hour and cuss the machine. I mean, I could see real spiritual virtue in that. It's like cleansing. So I like Las Vegas for that reason. Yeah. They don't expect you to come there without making money off the gambling. So this side of me, I love to go and beat the hotel who gives you special rates thinking they'll send you back with no money because you'll gamble. I beat the system when I go to Las Vegas and get their cheap rates and 24-hour restaurants. And if it's raining, I'm walking in Paris or walking in Venice or walking in Rome or walking in New York. Yeah, I sort of like it. You never know whether it's daylight or dark. And it's good restaurants. And everybody's so possessed with winning some money, you just sort of get out of the way and watch them go by. It's the best place in the world to people watch. I'd like to stay in Las Vegas, but only if you're going to get on the phone and say, I'm a little balm for your wounds between 12:30 midnight and 5 in the morning on Saturday night and between 11 and 12 on Sunday night. And if I don't see that, too much scotch in me to keep spending something over $5,000 a week to provide the truth of God's Word in Las Vegas. I'm not asking you to pay for it. I'm asking you to let me know you appreciate it. Now get on telephone. And you all jam the phones just like that, and then were made to hold or something, or didn't get through. Come on. What I've been saying is, get with it, folks. Turn faith loose, and we can win this. There is no ministry in the world. One voice, teaching the truth, same voice, unwaveringly teaching the truth, 24 hours a day on every square inch of this globe. I wish there were 1,000. There aren't. This is it. And God keeps books. You see, the reason the judgment seat of Christ is the last event of time, then time will be no more, and new heavens and new earth. We don't go to the white throne judgment in the book of Revelation, where people are judged out of the books according to their deeds, and everybody falls short and is cast into the lake of fire. The judgment for that has already been rendered on Christ. We don't show up at that judgment. Only those that are not in Christ. And they go to the lake of fire. No exceptions. The dead gives up the dead. The sea gives up the dead that are in it. The graves give up the dead in them. Well, what about the rapture? Well, the dead in Christ have already gone up and had the marriage supper of the Lamb. At the white throne judgment, all the dead not in Christ, not only up there, not up there yet, they aren't there. They didn't go. They will come forth and they appear before the judgment seat, the white throne judgment, and they're judged according to their deeds out of the books. And they fall short, they're cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Those in Christ have already been joined to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The bride of Christ is already wed. The judgment seat of Christ will come where He will then judge you. And a lot of people don't know this. Hell's not just one level. You take the home security code of colors. We're in the orange. Hadn't gone to the yellow yet. Isn't that it? I think we're in the orange now. Everybody is not getting the same punishment. There are the least amount of hell is worse than you can imagine. The reason God in Isaiah 6 is heaping up wrath is some are going to get treated worse in hell. It's just worser of the worst. And not all the rewards in heaven are the same. Some start and falter. Those that Paul is lamenting in the book of Hebrews, he's talking about Christians. He says when you ought to be teachers, you have need of being taught again. Let us go on unto completion. Perfection is the King James. Let us go on unto completion. Leaving, therefore, the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. He names those doctrines of Christ. Most Christians aren't even to the second or third one. And Paul's still urging, go on. Paul talks about being caught up into the third heaven. We just lost contact with the Pioneer space remote entity. It's still going 500 billion miles out there. They just can't pick the signal up. It's gotten too faint. 500 billion miles and still going. You can talk about heaven being some ethereal, mystical. Heaven's out there somewhere. Jesus went and came back, was there and came, and he will come again to get us. At the judgment seat of Christ, rewards are passed out for the accomplishments of faith. Faithfulness. We're all going to be the same up there. Why are they the last event? Because they keep accruing. Keep accruing. Paul says, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Every time I preach a message aright on that which God showed Paul, and it opens new eyes, check another credit to Paul. And check another credit to those that held the ropes, unnamed heroes, and led him over the wall in a basket. It's as I read from Boyce this morning, most Christians really don't believe in God or heaven. Those unnamed heroes will stand right there with Paul because it wouldn't have been a first, second, third missionary journey, and two-thirds of the New Testament would not have been written if they hadn't risked their lives doing with what they could assemble and what they had to let him over the wall at Damascus. And he'll say, come on, Gene. You carried my message forward and that increased my credits. And I'll say, come on, folks. You held my arms up and you get the credit too. Get the breath of eternity back in your life. I didn't have time to read what Boyce said. Everybody has a little bit of faith. Everybody trusts God a little bit. You couldn't even get saved if you didn't. But then you park. You can say, thank God, because you're sick. Just like I am, driving me to Him. And He's my healer. And I'm in my rock. Because He's my rock. He's your rock. We are doing something in this city that will stand till eternity. I wanted to bring today some new manuscripts. I can't hardly wait till Easter. I just obtained some copies of manuscripts that may rechange, not necessarily, but can For it's a rethinking of the Gospels and knock the head off the Jesus seminar. Manuscripts confirming that Nicholas, one of the seven deacons appointed in the book of Acts, performed the role of secretary to Matthew. And these are papyrus fragments from Matthew's gospel with the colophon that says, written by Nicholas, the deacon, as dictated by Matthew. And the date on it, you have to collate the different kinds of dating because the Jews date differently and Babylonians date different, and we have the Julian calendar, 58 A.D. 58 A.D. Calculate the years from the death of Christ to 58 A.D., and you know how close we are. And indications are Nicholas thought he was penning the first gospel. There's no reason that Nicholas, when he penned it, would even know about Mark and his gospel. They may rethink all of the datings. It's always been assumed by me and other scholars, with the evidence that was available, Mark's was first. Written at Antioch, and I will credit at least 20 years ago some Catholic scholars that argued that Matthew wrote his first at Antioch. We have assembled treasures that will bring scholars from around the world. Two little Scottish ladies made five trips to St. Catherine's Monastery, where Tischendorf found the Sinaiticus, the oldest complete Bible. These two Scottish ladies made five trips when they discovered a Syriac manuscript of Luke's Gospel. That's why I'm building that hexagon downstairs. Get with it, folks. We've won the battle with Faith Center. We're not selling this place. I'm selling everything else, but I'm selling this. We're going to fix it up. If nothing else, we'll come fix it up. We will restore, and that's why the devil attacked in this last rainstorm Faith Center so terribly with the leaks over there. Melissa was in the process of laying out the plans for restoring Faith Center, to which we will have to return with the boiler room, because I'm selling Silver Oaks Ranch as part of Secret 16. It was a result of my art. Gave it to the church years ago, created a corporation, and gave the corporation to the church. We're going to go on with Secret 16. You don't know what it is yet. I don't hear any complaints about Secret 15. And just because we got it, now we have to do with that tower what we did with the sanctuary. First, get the signs up there. I said to the mayor the other day, you know, I suppose there'll be some opposition when I raise those signs, but they got the permit that said it had to go on the top, and then we were forced to park it temporarily because we didn't have control of the tower. He said, oh, who would complain? They've been a part of the Los Angeles skyline for years. And I said, good for you. I like this mayor. I am, you know, I hadn't met him. I am convinced he's a man of character and commitment. And whether the decisions he makes are right or wrong, I haven't seen him make any wrong ones yet, but he's going to do out of his own character background, he's going to do what he thinks is right. He's not going to be bought by anybody. and can be persuaded by political convenience. And I repeat what he said the other day when he walked out. He said, "Gene, thanks for the spiritual refreshment. You don't get it often on this job." These are great times, folks, and the devil's not going to win with my health problem. I'm going to win, but I need some help. I want you to get on the phone and eliminate this stress of me having to worry by Wednesday noon whether you're going to meet the quota of reservations for Sunday at the cathedral. Come on, get busy. I don't want you to stop calling, but every morning I get amazed just 1 hour when Channel 27 in Dallas. These are the kind of calls. My name is, and he gives it to me. And I remember, this is this morning, between 7 and 8, we need voices of faith. We didn't have as many today as normal. We need you in there from 7 to 8 on Sunday morning. My name is, and he gives it to me. I remember Dr. Scott when he helped us, when my church, the Worldwide Church of God, was going to get taken over by the government, and he fought for us. I sure would like his address to write him a letter to say thank you for your courage. I think that's nice. Like the one leper who came back to say thank you to Jesus. Dallas, Texas. I was feeling so low that I was considering suicide. But I channel surfed on Channel 27, and that devil, he got blowed out of the water. This Dr. Scott's wonderful. Please send me that magazine. Southeast Dallas, Malakoff. Wow, this is wonderful. My wife and I used to watch you when we lived in Michigan. We moved to Dallas this morning. We were both sick and didn't go to church. We were watching TV and found you on Channel 27. We're so happy. Thank you. You're very lucky here in Los Angeles. You're at the heart of all this. Be faithful. Get on the telephone. Now, let me tell you, voices of faith, that it's okay. Don't get out here where you get in the way of the cameras or the person who runs messages to me, but these front row phones tend to ring the most. So watch them close, and it's okay to come around if you can't get through behind and get to the phone. You think Las Vegas is getting the message that I want them to call? There is, some people think there's reverse psychology, but not people that have watched me for years. There's no other ministry that isn't hounding you for money. I don't want you to send any money until I first teach you. Then you send what you think the teaching's worth after you've been taught. That's between you and God. How do you make out the check? Well, to the teacher. Dr. Gene Scott. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to spend it. I'm going to spend it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if I'm as rich as Howard Hughes was or Bill Gates is now. I might be, for all you know. If I were, I'd be buying all the stations in the country. I'm in the business of communicating, but I'm trying to teach that God's word is worth something, and if you aren't giving for that reason, don't give at all. I'm not in Las Vegas because we expect Las Vegas to send money sufficient to cover the airtime. Las Vegas is a place where people from all over the world come. And because we're in Las Vegas, people from around the nation, at least, say, "Well, I thought he was off the air." And they find out that they can listen to us 24 hours a day on shortwave radio and internet and two satellites and anywhere in the world. That's why we're in Las Vegas. But we're also there for those in Las Vegas that need the lift of God's word reaching you where you live. Now, we don't play religious music all the time. I don't think you have to paint a halo on top of your head and run around with a sign. I'm unique. I'm a Christian. Supernatural means more natural. I do want to know that people are listening. Otherwise, I'll just put my money somewhere else where people are listening. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
How many of you people in here have been writing checks to Dr. Gene Scott for years? Let me see your hand. Everybody in here, except one or two that probably never had any money. How many of you ever saw a check deposited to a Gene Scott personal account and not deposited to the church? Nobody. But that's my choice. I can take it and dump it in the Pacific if I want to. I just choose to do it this way so that you are doing what God said. Let him that taught in the Word share materially with the one who taught him in all good things. I want to know that giving is appreciation for the teaching. But we'll stay in Las Vegas till Jesus comes, whether you give or not, if you let me know you appreciate the teaching, you appreciate us being there. I want phone calls. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Get on the phone. Now, Silver Oaks Ranch has been a source of programming and joy for many years. As I told you, that phase of my life is over. I have too much to do. I've shipped all the horses out. I'm out of the saddlebred industry. We made our mark. Silver Oaks Ranch is the most unique piece of property. It was an asset that I felt would be there when I was gone, should Jesus tarry. But it's time to use it now. The community has changed. It was once was the richest suburban community in Los Angeles. It was for rich racehorse people 10 minutes from Santa Anita. We're the largest now. We're a few blocks away from the farm that had the Kentucky Derby winner, and then the Arab Sheik died shortly afterwards. They were having a party out at a restaurant on the west side, Guido's, and they were bragging, the farm that won the Kentucky Derby is coming in here for a special victory dinner. And they were sort of in awe. We were sitting at my usual table, Melissa and I, and they were all real nervous about these people that just won the Derby. And they came in, and when they came through the door, they looked and said, "Dr. Scott, my neighbor!" Choice piece of property. We are bringing Christie's out. There's no other place that has what that one has, a private golf course and the only hard-drew green clay tennis court in the Los Angeles area. Hunter rings, jumper rings, 7 houses. It's ideal for some Arab sheik that wants to have all of his relatives and be 10 minutes from Santa Anita racetrack. So we will feature it worldwide and sell it. Put the focus, like Jesus, when the time was come that he should be offered up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I've taken that mountain with your help. Now we're going to make it a true mountain of light. And a certain stability has come. We're not abandoning Faith Center. As I said, we'll keep that. It turned into an antenna farm with all of the uplinks that we have there now. In 20 more years of teaching, is going to need more and more room to store tapes. Melissa has started preserving the old 2-inch tapes and sending them out. Over 100 hours went out last week to professional places to restore the tapes and bring them up, you know, about the water damage. We're moving forward. Look up at the ceiling, folks. And we've only started in here. Pray that it won't rain very hard Wednesday. We have roofers that need to finish the repair on this one. They put a new roof on, but there still were leaks. And we have already contracted the new roof on King's House 1. This is the year of the roofs. We're moving forward. I'm going to call for volunteers and all of you that don't mind sweating and gardening. When spring comes, I'd like to take an army up to Silver Oaks Ranch and turn it into the pristine park that it can be. How many of you remember when I had the private horse show there, the beauty of Silver Oaks Ranch? I want to like that again. And I want you to help me dress it up so I can take all the money some Arab sheik has got for that ranch. And for anyone else, they're building. It's no longer the horse community it was. The privacy, when we got it, we were bordered with the Los Angeles National Forest. Now they've turned it into million-dollar homes. Right above our show ring, just across the road, looking down on us, is a house that the house cost $15 million. It's an exclusive community. I don't need that anymore. I need the money to do what I've set my face to do. And God has led me to make the right kinds of investments that can turn. I bought that for $1.9 million. Nothing down, 30 years to pay. I can't even buy a corner of it for that now. Can't even buy one of the acres. Not even close. We have things to do, folks. Now, help me scare the cancer cells out of my body again. Put your shoulder to the wheel, and you that want to make full commitments, get in your applications. But I'm calling for volunteers. We need volunteers. The security can be handled at all locations, 24 hours a day around the clock if we have enough volunteers. This studio can be run by volunteers. We only need one person here that is on staff to be able to direct. The bookstore is a nightmare. I've almost shut it down repeatedly. I have diverted most of the books other than Mark I've written and the tapes to Capstone Books, King's Houses that love this ministry. I appreciate what they do. You can go to capstonebooks.com and get most of the books that we offer, including the reprint of the titles of the Triune God that they are now offering. Anytime I feature a book, they're going to get it. But we shouldn't have to worry about the bookstore. Volunteers do it. We shouldn't have to worry about mailing the passes out. Volunteers ought to be able to do that. And it is criminal that we don't have, and that's why Melissa wanted to fix this place up until it's a pleasant place to come. We ought to have Voices of Faith in here around the clock. I appreciate the fact there were 6 Voices of Faith here most of the night. Saturday night, last night, for the Las Vegas overnight programming. And that's why I'm harping on Las Vegas. If I bring people in here to answer phones all night, the least you can do is keep them awake and call them and say you appreciate the programming. We got things to do, and if you don't mind digging and gardening, you don't have to shovel any horse stuff, because horses are gone. I just want to get the ranch back to the level that Christie's can go around it and take pictures and feature it worldwide and sell it. Don't anybody even think about it. When I bought nothing down, 30 years to pay, I was on the buying side. On the selling side, cash on a barrel head, the way we bought the cathedral. Don't even talk to me if you haven't got the money. It's like owning a Rolls Royce. If you can't afford to maintain it, you shouldn't own it. If you can't afford to buy this ranch, don't even talk to me. But I want you to help me get it until you're going to cry because we're selling it. And then you're going to think about the money we can put into the ministry and shout hallelujah. And we're moving forward. We ought to buy those parking lots that are around the church.
Yes, sir.
And we don't have any trouble with movie vans coming down there. Just arrest them for trespass and tow their cars off. Now, get on the phone. Get them all going. That's the first comment I've had. Pastor, the communication truck, it's a studio truck, but I understand what you mean. Looks great with the new paint job. How many of you saw it today? Looks pretty good, doesn't it? The cab will be done this week. Now, Melissa didn't do it, but she organized it. And she gave an order and said if it wasn't done, she'd kill him. That's all that I've been waiting for, staff members to do that. And she would. Maybe. Thanks for the food. I was a volunteer security Thursday morning. You're welcome. Nice to be thanked. Mira Loma, because of the dish, that's the new KU band. Are you taking advantage of that? Now, I've told you, you can get the information about the dish. And wherever you are, you can go to any dish installation service and they'll install the under 1 meter band dish, 30 inches. And you can put it up in areas that zoning doesn't allow. Larger dishes, but they can't do anything about a 1 meter dish or less. Everybody ought to get this dish. You can get it for less than $500 if you use the contact that we have and the company that's providing them, and obviously some people are. Because of the dish, you have you on 3 TVs throughout the house. My house is filled with joy and laughter ever since I got the dish. In fact, it's so clear, I seldom go to the GE3. I just flip over to the KU band. Watch it. I've been watching on Channel 56 for a while. I'd like to come to the cathedral next Sunday for the first time. A lot of people are doing that. Los Angeles, thank you, Dr. Scott, for the Shalom service replay. I was sick and I was healed after taking communion with you. I want to come to the cathedral next Sunday. Another first-timer. I think that's wonderful. It's happening. You going to let it just go right on by you? It's happening. Now, we're going to go to the table of the Lord in this half hour, so about one song or two. Get your calls in. Need about another 150 reservations to be on par for today, so get busy in the next 2 songs at most. Hurry up. Okay, no more calls. We're going to the table of the Lord, you and your home, and we hear. It's the way they did it in the New Testament. Find a place to sit. I'm not here yet. I'll get there. Book of Romans. 10th chapter. I quote it so often, the New Testament way of appropriating the promises of God. The righteousness which is of faith, 6th verse, 10th chapter, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. And what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. That if thou shalt, literally, profess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt, literally, faith in thine heart, pistousis is the word, and pistuotai, in this particular case, the word of faith, pisteos, rhematis pisteos, rhema, word of faith, the word of faith, rhematis pisteos, which we preach, and you know that verb pistuo, action based upon belief, sustained by confidence, articulated by the mouth, the first step of hanging your body on it. The word of pisteos, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, the King James says, pistuotai is the Greek, faith in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, pistousis, unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I haven't talked a lot of late about that word salvation. It's soterion in the Greek, like shalom in the Old Testament. It is being and becoming all that God intends and intended you to be. He didn't create you to be sick. Salvation, like shalom, is wholeness and completeness, and includes healing as well as removal of the barrier that keeps contact from you and God being realized. His life in you, redemption and covering for sin, and wholeness, health. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, we've been talking about that, haven't we? Calling God by name, shall be saved. Soterion again. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Another derivative of pistuo. And how shall they, I'm going to use the right word, faith in him, remember today's message, of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? That's what we're doing, folks. And how shall they preach except they be sent? It's one of the problems with a lot of preachers today. God didn't send them. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Irene, the word in the Greek is translating shalom everywhere it's used, though this is a New Testament passage. But they're quoting an Old Testament passage where shalom is the word. And bring glad tidings of good things. Isaiah is who he's quoting. Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me, but to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. We're part of those that the gospel reached, rejected by those first Israelites. He's quoting Isaiah 52. You know chapter and verse in the Old Testament, the prelude to Isaiah 53. Seventh verse, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Mebasar. Bringeth good tidings that publisheth shalom. Wholeness, health. That bringeth good tidings of good. Yes, that is good. That publisheth salvation, Yeshua, our Savior. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth over everything. He reigneth over sickness, he reigneth over sin, he reigneth over death, hell, and the grave. And jump to the following chapter. Who hath believed? Who? Mihe Amin. Who he amens? Lishmuatenu, the hearing of us. And what is the report? Surely, verse 4, a keen, an emphatic, truly, verily, unshakably true. Halani, or Halanu, the first person plural. Me's the first person singular, me. Halanu, the pronominal suffix of us. Hali is the word. Sickness. Surely the sickness of us. Mine, yours. Hui. Emphatic he. With a repetition of the verb form. Nasa. Surely, verily, the sickness, plural, the sicknesses of us. He, repeating, he took up. Emphatic he, hui, nasa. Surely, the sicknesses of us, he took up. That's why I preached this morning. Alone, only, he is my rock. As Hebrews 1 says, he did it alone. Sat down, finished. Surely, when I bring Christ down, don't have to go down and get him, bring him up. I'm sending out my feet on airwaves with your help. This good tidings is going out. Surely, certainly, truly, verily. The sicknesses of us. He says that before he talks about he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Certainly, the sicknesses of us. He, hui, nasa, he took up. Is to bend down and lift them off of us. King James, and carried our sorrows. Sabalam, carried away. Picked him up, carried away. Macab, the pain. The pain. The pain of us, Makabanu, the pain of us. He picked up the sicknesses and carried away the pains. Verily. I have to go up and get him, don't have to go down and get him. Done. That's why Peter, looking back, says, with his stripes ye were healed. And the punishment, Musar, requitement, punishment, designed to restore something that was lost by stepping in. The Portuguese translations speak of a fiador, one who stands in for you, takes your place. And let the punishment resulting from Adam and Eve's sin and their separation from the source of life, and their beginning to die at that instant, run its course in Him. The punishment for our shalom, well-being, is upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. I came to this chapter intensely 2.5 years ago. Is there something I miss, God? No. Wherever I turn, it's heralded out. You and I don't have to go up and get Him. He did it already. We don't have to go down and get Him, bring Him up. Word's already nigh, it's in our mouth. The word of faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's so important, and if necessary, we be an example. That this message go to a suffering world that can't hear without a preacher. We've been sent, called, set apart, separated. This worldwide network for one voice, with teaching laid down for 28 years that cannot be duplicated even by me. 24 hours a day, 24/7. That's what you're part of. That's what we're doing. And that's what Satan wants to kill. But God snatched from him the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He's not the master anymore. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I don't underestimate him. And I feel sorry for my congregation that I can't keep them alert to the enemy, which can only be met as we stand fast and put on the whole armor of God and keep the word of faith declaring, surely He picked up our sicknesses, carried our pains away. The punishment in the course of it to the end thereof for sin and sickness was upon Him. As I take this bread, and if there wasn't sickness involved in what He did, there'd be no need for the bread. All you need is the cup. And look at this piece of bread and discern it's not just an ordinary piece of bread. It now becomes a symbol through which I look and remind myself. The word's already nigh me. It's in my mouth. Speak it forth. The word of faith. Not just any word. The word of faith. Amen to the hearing of it. With His stripes, I was healed. Take it with me and say it again. With His stripes, I was healed. I can come with confidence because I'm made worthy by what He did. He picked up my sins, carried them away like the scapegoat. He bore them. That I might, through this cup, remember, the price has been paid for my sins, past, present, and future, and I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb.